Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I'm Ben Boland.
Ben, today we got a cool topic, as we always usually say at the beginning of our podcast, right? But this one, to me, this is an interesting one because you've definitely heard of the Rolls-Royce name, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, a lot of times you'll hear Rolls-Royce mentioned along with, you know, words like opulent or luxurious or lavish or, you know, we're gonna find out just how opulent, luxurious, and lavish these things are. And I think we want to go back maybe to the very beginning and talk about where some of these Rolls-Royce cars came from and why they are the way they are today.
That's a great point. Our story would start with the dynamic duo of Charles Rolls and Henry Royce.
Mm-hmm. And it goes way back. I mean, we're talking like, dawn of the automobile, of course. We go way back to, you know, the late 1800s. And as is the case with a lot of people from the early days of the industry, you know, they were kind of tinkering around with their own thing, you know, on their kitchen table.
Yes.
Making engines, building car bodies in the garage, you know, or the carriage house, I guess, at the time.
Very much a cottage industry.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, you got a couple of guys that come together. You want me to mention a few things about each one? Because I've got a few bullet points on each guy here, and I'll kind of tell you who they are.
Yeah, let's trade off too, because I have some cool little things.
Oh, do you? Okay, let's start with Charles Rolls.
Yeah,
how about that? He was a mechanical engineer at Cambridge. Mm-hmm. An interesting point here. He's the first undergrad to own a car in his class in Cambridge, which.
What did he do right after that?
Isn't that weird? That's crazy.
He started racing.
Yeah, no kidding. So he's interested in cars. He's the only one, the first undergrad in his school to have one, which is, you know, nowadays, think about that.
That's incredible. I know.
And, you know, he was interested in racing. He had the passion for racing is what they said. Mm-hmm. And he began to sell foreign cars on lots, you know, at a local lot. In order to support his racing habit.
And that's amazing because he's still going to college at this time. How unproductive do you feel? You know what
yeah,
I mean
right.
when you hear about that?
He was doing an awful lot, I'll tell you that. So anyways, he was
That's how he met Royce. That's how he met Henry Royce, right? Because he was looking to find some English cars.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. And you know what? He also became an aviator. Which was interesting.
Yeah.
You know, at a young age, he became an aviator, and he was actually – this is crazy. He was the first person to complete a double crossing of the English Channel.
So that's where you fly – think of that as round trip.
Yeah, round trip, I guess, but still amazing. I mean, think about the time of this. This is, again, dawn of the automobile,
mm-hmm.
dawn of the airplane, really, and here he is. You know, he's taking all these risks. He's a risk taker.
And, well, not to bring it down too far, but – he does pass away in July 1910.
Yeah, this ended badly for him because 1910, that's really, really early mm-hmm. on in the Rolls-Royce history.
Yeah.
So Charles Rolls didn't make it too long because he was killed in a crash at an air show mm-hmm. in 1910. So that passion for, you know, aviation also got to him.
But let's also not neglect Mr. Henry Royce.
Sir Henry Royce.
Thank you, Scott.
Later, Sir Henry Royce. Uh-huh. He was knighted after World War I. Imagine that. I mean, whenever I talk about something and we mention World War I, for some reason I'm just blown away. It just seems so long ago at this point.
It is so strange because we're nearing the point where it's going to be a centennial, I believe, of World War I.
Yeah, I think it's coming up. It's really coming up quick. But anyways, this is a guy, Sir Henry Royce, who was, he was known for details, known for perfection.
Yeah, right? Meticulous guy.
Meticulous. And you can imagine where this, you know, draws out to today's vehicles.
Uh-huh.
But he owned a company that produced dynamos, electric motors, cranes, things like that. And he bought a car, you know, an early vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the name of the vehicle that he bought. I want to say here's the name of it. You know what? I'm looking at my notes. DeCauville?
Yes, yeah.
And decided that it was just... He didn't like it at all.
He didn't like it. He thought it was a POS.
Yeah, that's right. It was rough. Let's say it was rough. And you can imagine, you know, it was a hand-built vehicle back then. It was early days of the automobile. So he decided that he's going to improve on that design. And that's kind of the principle that built Rolls-Royce. You take what's already out there,
mm-hmm.
right, and you make it better. You try to make it actually later, they say, the best in the world, right?
Yes, that is that hallmark of ambition continues to the modern day, and largely you could argue that the company delivers on it. One interesting point about Henry Royce before we move on, I just love this detail from their website. His very first patent, Scott, 1887, a bayonet lamp socket.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so
1887?
Even before he was, it's important for us to say that even before he was designing his first engine around 1903, he was already very much an inventor,
and a tinkerer. Yeah, and by 1904, he was actually taking the vehicle. You mentioned the engine in 1903. Mm-hmm. By 1904, he was taking that car that he had designed out for the first road test.
Which is so fast, such a hectic inventive pace.
That's incredibly fast. And we're talking about, that's the very first year of Rolls-Royce production with Rolls-Royce Limited in 1904.
Mm-hmm.
So that's mm-hmm. early on. Now, we mentioned the death of Charles Rolls, so we should mention the death of Henry Royce also. He died in 1933.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's still fairly early on in the company's history. And get this, his ashes are in an urn at the Rolls-Royce Company headquarters.
Wow.
I know.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so they're housing the ashes of Sir Henry Royce at the Rolls-Royce headquarters.
And were he to see the company now, there's no doubt that he would be proud because they continue in they're both still alive in 1907 when they really break into what I guess we could call the mainstream.
Yeah, you know what? I think they would recognize the company in that, you know, it's perfected situation. I don't know how to say this, Ben.
Yeah.
I mean, saying that everything that Rolls-Royce does, I mean, when we mentioned the terms, we mentioned luxurious and lavish
mm-hmm.
and
opulent.
But perfection is another one that they mention, and mm-hmm. there's a reason for that because, you know, early on, and I said that he was one for perfection, you know, Royce was.
Yeah.
Early on, that's one of the quotes that's been accredited to him, you know, long through history is that, you know, his employees were urged to strive for perfection, take the best that exists and make it better. That was what he said. Take the best that exists. Make it better. So I can see how, you know, maybe if he were to come back today and see a Rolls Royce of today, he would say, you know, that we're still doing it the right way.
Yes, I'm tempted to agree with you. However, just a completely a psychological point here.
Mm-hmm.
People who do say take the best of the best to make it better,
mm-hmm.
when they were not going to be completely satisfied ever. So he would probably come in
yeah.
and he would, you know, he would have a few things to say. But
can I mention something here?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we should talk about the current Rolls-Royce and then we'll go back, I promise. But
okay.
You know,
I've
mentioned
time.
A few times here and we'll get to it eventually.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
but the Phantom Series 2 car, now this is from a Motor Trend article in May of 2012, okay?
Uh-huh.
They say that the price of this thing, first of all, is $500,000. It's $500,000 for a Series 2 Phantom. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if I say, oh, by the way, if I say Phaeton a few times in here, I mean Phantom. I keep saying Phaeton by mistake. So, the Phantom Series 2 is about $500,000. That's, you know, ballpark average.
Right.
The owner's average net worth, Ben?
Yeah.
$30 million.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, $30 million. So, that's average.
Wow.
I know. It's incredible. That's a pretty elite crowd, I would think. And here's what you get. I mean, you know, you get the, there's a long list of features that it has, and you know, it's brilliantly put together. It's a really nice car. Almost all the changes that you know are from the that come from the previous model. Mm-hmm. Anything that's new that makes the you know the 2013 or 14 or whatever model of the year they're on now.
Yeah,
they're said to be extremely subtle, but they say that the owners of Rolls-Royce cars are the type that will notice extremely subtle differences in the vehicles from model year to model year.
And that's a great point because we should mention that Rolls-Royce has an incredibly loyal customer base.
They do. And these types of minimal changes, these really, really subtle changes,
mm-hmm.
those things matter to the people that buy these cars.
Yes. Like, what's one example to show how subtle this is?
Like, first of all, lights are LED. That's not something you wouldn't really care about. But, like the grill. Okay,
mm-hmm.
the grill, instead of being three pieces that were bonded together, they're now a single-piece grill. And an owner of the Rolls-Royce brand would understand that's a measure of quality for them. They're saying, mm-hmm. oh, my gosh, I need to have the 2013 because it has that single-piece grill that I so desire.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a little dramatic, but you know what I'm saying, right?
Is it, though? It might not be.
And you know what? I'm talking about, like, wood grains and things like that and features that – you know, you wouldn't pay attention to otherwise. Now, I've watched a lot of videos about Rolls-Royce cars being put together of the last, you know, while we're researching for these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's all starting to get, you know, jumbled up in my head. But every single one of them stresses quality. They stress craftsmanship. They stress patience. They stress, you know, the human touch on these things.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And
very much so.
Very much so. Yeah. And so, you know, when you're watching these things, it's you're watching cabinet makers that are making the interior panels and they're matching up wood grains and they're looking at pieces of leather and deciding that, you know, that one's not good enough because I can't get the, I'm going to guess 300 pieces of leather out of this one piece that I need. And if that, you know, the other four pieces don't match, someone's going to notice.
Yeah.
That's kind of, you know, the level of detail that we're talking about here. They're all craftsmen that are there, and they're hand-built. I've got numbers here. I'll find them in a minute in my notes. But, you know, we'll talk about, like, the lack of robots on the facility. I mean, there's a total of four that do some of the painting work, but not all of it because, you know, it's not detailed enough for the for the standards that they've decided upon.
I mean, let's be honest, Scott. Even in the modern day, Rolls-Royce is still essentially a coach-building company.
Essentially, they are, yeah, because, I mean, here's some numbers that will impress you, Ben. It takes up to 17 days and 450 pieces of leather to create the interior. How about that?
17 days for the interior leather alone.
Yeah, that's right. And 60 people, woodworkers, you know, the seamstresses that are involved in putting the seats together, you know, the technicians that work on the engines, of course, you know, the surface finish people, you know, that's another thing, Ben. When they leave the factory, each car is hand polished for 5 hours with lamb's wool cloth before it's delivered.
Yeah, we talked about, I think you mentioned that one off air because we had, as we're recording this, we had taken a break for some holidays. And this was one of the things that we talked about before the holiday. Yeah. I remember you stopped and said, hey, one thing though.
Yeah.
They polished these for 5 hours.
Yeah, isn't that incredible? I don't know why I find that stat right there so amazing, but I do. Mm-hmm. To take a finished car when it comes off the line, usually it's really clean, really ready. It's ready to go. I mean, you see them rolling off the factory lines all the time, the big three, whatever. And they're put on a truck and delivered. You know, they'll be cleaned up a little bit at the dealership.
Right.
Well, to leave the factory after 5 hours of hand polishing and, you know, clean – you can imagine the level of detail that these guys put into this. So they arrive to the Rolls-Royce dealer ready for the new owner.
Immaculate.
Absolutely immaculate, yeah. So it's definitely a labor of love.
Yes. And since we've – I think you were right that we should we did need to travel into the future a little bit to show people this stuff.
We went a little farther than I meant to. I'm sorry.
Well, no, this is perfect because we've got the price tag and we've got some very interesting stats about the average net worth of the owner.
Yeah.
The one thing we should mention, the engine there is a 6.7 liter V12. So this is not
awesome.
A paper tiger, you know.
This thing
has 453 horsepower. It can do 0 to 60 in under 6 seconds. And when you look at these cars, let's be honest, that is surprising.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Yeah, you know what? And a couple things about this. They're up to 453 horsepower, like you mentioned. And, you know, they're really, I mean, it's an ultra-luxury vehicle, but, I mean, that's like supercar performance almost, you know, because they've got a lot of get up and go. Let's just put it that way. And if you go back to the very beginning, when you go back to the, you know, the 1904 to 1906 models that have 10 horsepower.
Yeah,
And they didn't have anything really bigger than a six-cylinder up until about, you know, I think it was late 06 when they actually got the V8. And, you know, much later, we'll talk about it in a moment here, but they went up to V12 early on. And the thing about these Rolls-Royce engines, Ben, they're so well put together and, you know, they're often compared to like a watch, the inner workings of a watch.
That's a really good comparison.
And they call them whisper quiet. That was a term that they used to describe the Silver Ghost, which is one of their early big models that a lot of people have heard of. That refers to a specific vehicle because that was the one that, you know, everybody saw early on before there really was a Silver Ghost.
Yeah, when it went more than 14,000 miles.
Yeah.
Famously.
Actually, more than that. There was more to it than that even.
Yeah.
I was reading this this little bit about this. Now, you said 14,000 miles.
There's 14,371.
Okay, that's right. That was an endurance test, right?
Yes.
And that was when it was driven between London and Glasgow 27 times as part of – just to show its reliability, quiet operation. It was a the specific vehicle, the one car that they called the Silver Ghost, was a demonstrator car. So they built this early on, and that's kind of like, to me, doesn't it seem like a little bit of a, you know, the dream car Harley Earl thing? Like, you know, let's build one early on and see what people think?
Yeah, it's very much it's very similar to the concept car idea, you know, before we make 500 of these and hope people buy them, let's just make one and see how people react.
But it wasn't so futuristic and fancy that they couldn't achieve it.
Yeah.
This was we're showing you the car, we're gonna demonstrate it, but the idea was quietness and reliability. And it showed both, because they said that it had ghost-like quiet operation, and that's how it got the ghost name. Mm-hmm. And the silver part of it obviously comes from the silver-colored body.
Yes.
And ultimately, you know, he mentioned that there's the one car that was the demonstrator car, which, you know, famously was chassis number AX201. They built almost 7,900 of these things. So there were quite a few of these built, and I know I've seen a few of these in collections here and there.
Yeah, they're still around. They're extant, because the Silver Ghost, as you said, they made quite a few, and it was in production, this antecedent of the Phantom, that was in production until 1925. One thing that might be very interesting to a lot of people unfamiliar with Rolls-Royce is they've heard us refer to this as the new one, the 2013, mm-hmm. as the Series 2. But of course, that name is a little bit misleading, because there have not been, there's not just this one sort of Phantom and the Silver Ghost. There are several Phantoms.
Oh, yeah. We've got several versions of this thing. What do we go up to here? Seven, am I right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think it goes up to seven. No, six. I'm sorry. And then the current version is just called Rolls-Royce Phantom again, the present version.
So, I'm counting that one.
What I'll call historic cars, I guess. You want to go back to – let's call the first six historic.
That's great.
And these are right after the Silver Ghost, which was – officially dubbed by Autocar in 1907 as, what they call it, the best car in the world.
Yes,
the best car in the world, Ben, 1907. Now, that's pretty remarkable. I mean, but looking at the Silver Ghost and what it did and the reliability and the quietness and, I mean, okay, I keep getting off on these tangents, but I want to tell you something. When I was in Detroit, I worked at this studio, you know, doing video production, and there was a shop down the road that would do like concours level restorations on cars.
Oh, cool.
And I had a friend who originally had worked in like a parts shop and was now coincidentally working down the street from me in this facility. I've mentioned this before.
Yeah, you've mentioned this guy before.
The guy that would buy the Duesenberg parts and, you know, like the $5,000 oil pans and things like that. This is the same shop. They would drive those cars through – it was a closed industrial area. Mm-hmm. And they would drive those cars through our parking lot sometimes, you know, just to exercise them, to stretch them a little bit.
Yeah.
So you got these remarkable cars coming through, just incredible. And they would bring, like, these old Rolls Royces from, you know, like the 1910s, 1920s through our lot. And I swear to you couldn't hear them running.
Really?
No, they were like, it was like a golf cart, you know, like an electric golf cart approaching you. Mm-hmm. It was that much noisy. All you heard was the wheel noise.
Like the wheels touching the road.
That's it. And it was so, so quiet. It's just amazing. Like, I can't express to you how strange it is to see something that large moving toward you or past you and you never hear it. It's really amazing. So this whisper quiet or this ghost-like motion.
It's real.
I completely understand it. I really do. Because, I mean, imagine a V12 working under the hood of something that's, you know, 100 years old at this point, and you don't even hear it.
I mean, I don't know whether to be more impressed by the original craftsmanship or the mechanics.
It's precision, because, you know, they originally came from the factory that way.
Yeah.
It's like the watchmaker precision.
Yeah, so the Phantom... As we've said, that's a cool story. The Phantom is not an ironic name. It's not like Little John.
No.
It's not the name for the largest. So the first Phantom comes out in 1925. It's a replacement for the Silver Ghost. Mm-hmm. And this has a couple of different things. Perhaps most notably, it has a straight-six engine.
Yeah, which is nice, right? I mean, a little bit more power. And when we talk about more power, I mean, we're going from like 10 horsepower or 20 horsepower up to they had two models. They had a 40 and a 50.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that designated which power level you were at, 40 horsepower or 50 horsepower. And if you look at the Rolls-Royce Phantom 1 in any photos – these are extremely stately cars. I mean, they're really long, long vehicles, and it almost looks like something the Munsters would be riding around town in, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, you wouldn't want to parallel park it.
Massive headlights up front, you know, that are, you know, like a foot and a half across. They're huge, and it's got a long, long hood. Clearly, a chauffeur's area in the front and a cabin in the back for, you know, the passengers.
Yeah.
Very, very cool car.
And they built. This is surprising because it's already aimed at a specific demographic, you know, and I think that's fairly apparent by the fact that there's a chauffeur area, right? But they still make and sell thousands.
Like 3,500 of these things were made, which is pretty remarkable at the time. I mean, that's a lot of vehicles for this high end clientele that they had. Because even then, you're right. They were focused on an upper level class of people, and later that may be a little tough sell. When you get into like the 1930s and
the Great Depression,
and also the wars, when you're talking about that kind of issue. So, one other quick thing. I've got a few notes on these. I've got a list of these as we go through in like 1, 2, 3 series, and then a few notes here that I just want to mention on each one. We won't get too in depth on them, but definitely
love it. Some quick fire facts.
So just here and there.
Yeah.
I don't know why this surprised me, but they were offered with a 3-speed manual or a 4-speed manual transmission in that big car. And I don't know why that shocked me, because then I thought, automatic transmissions were much later. They were in, the 1930s. And the first mass-produced cars would be, the GM cars of the mid-30s.
Right.
So early on, you got these huge vehicles like the Phantom One driving around with, a stick shift.
Manual.
which, to me, along with that that quiet operation, I don't know if that – it kind of depends on how your chauffeur shifts, right?
Right, yeah, it depends on how well your driving person is. They still have a 4-speed when the Rolls-Royce Phantom II comes out in 1929.
Yeah, 1929, and that kind of overlaps. That's strange.
Yeah,
there's an overlap here, and there's a few overlaps. I've got them listed here, but they have an overlap in production. So, they made the Phantom I until 31.
Mm-hmm.
The Phantom II came out in 29, as you mentioned. And I don't know, it's just... another beautiful, beautiful car. I don't have a photo of it in front of me here, but we've actually got an article on our site from Consumer. Well, actually, the Consumer Guide Auto part of it, and they list some pluses and minuses of this. And one of the pluses, no cost engineering, exquisite looks, reliable. That's in one of the things.
Yeah.
Restoration. You can still find parts for them. They're prestigious. The minuses. Archaic road manners and heavy to drive, of course, as you can imagine.
Right, right.
Very expensive. It says you'll need a mortgage to restore one.
Ouch.
I can imagine, yeah. Even though parts are available.
Is that specifically the Phantom II?
The Phantom II specifically. They say that you'll need a mortgage to restore one of these things. So if you find one out in a field somewhere, nice find, but think twice about taking it home.
Talk to your broker, maybe.
Yeah, maybe get it and turn it into a rat rod.
And they didn't make as many Phantom IIs, though. Maybe that part of that's because of the overlap.
Yeah, and Ben, the horsepower goes way up. I mean, it almost doubles here at this point. So the horsepower, which is strange for them to actually quote horsepower at this time, because they look back at these and they did this, it was 120 horsepower. And that's a significant increase from the 40 to 50 from the previous model.
Yeah.
However, they didn't officially quote those horsepower ratings at the time. And I thought that was unusual. It was in the article that said that at the time, it wasn't a big thing. It wasn't a selling point, really, for them.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't say, here's our twice the horsepower model. It just had a bigger engine, and they knew it was faster, but they didn't come out and say, in their advertising, step up to the 120 horsepower model or anything like that.
Maybe they would have seen that as undignified.
I don't know. But now, I mean, today, it seems like that's all that matters, at some point.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest selling points of any vehicle.
Not all that matters. But, I mean, look, they're up to 450-something, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that there are versions out there with even more than that or versions planned.
Yeah, forthcoming versions.
Yeah, I mean, look at some of the Bentley cars. They're way up there. So, anyways, I thought that was interesting that they don't normally quote them, but they did for, going back, you can find out what they were.
Oh, two other things before we get to Phantom 3. Interesting. The Phantom 2, their production line included more than 100 left-hand vehicles.
No kidding.
Yep. So that's the specification, and I agree. If you're paying that much, then you should be able to have it whichever way you want.
I would like a drive in the middle.
I want the steering wheel directly in the middle.
Like the new McLarens, that'd be cool.
That would be cool. Also, there are slight differences between the U.S. and the U.K.-produced Phantoms.
Oh, okay.
So we just want to get that out before we get the letter.
Yeah, that's actually – so if we read something here that doesn't jive with what you've got in your garage or your grandfather has in his garage, then that's why.
And we would be delighted, because that would mean that you are probably a millionaire listening to our show. And that's
maybe not. I've got some Craigslist numbers that
that's
surprise
right.
you.
Oh.
Should I just say it?
No, not yet.
Okay. Yeah,
we got to save them. Okay, so Phantom 3, though, this is interesting. 1936, 1939, this makes it the pre-war Rolls-Royce.
That's right. It's still pre-war. All of them up to this point are pre-war.
Pre-World War II.
Pre-World War II. That's right. Yeah, which is strange to say again.
Yeah.
But anything called a pre-world or pre-war car is anything prior to World War II. So this Phantom III, I've got some information here about a touring limousine that had an interesting feature that we can't believe how advanced this is.
Okay.
The only note that I have for this one really is the advanced extras on this car.
All right.
And one of them in particular that really stood out in my mind was first of all, they stepped up from this point. This is the year where they stepped up from a 6-cylinder to a 12-cylinder engine.
So yes.
That's major. No, don't get me wrong there. But listen to this. The chassis had built-in hydraulic jacks so that you could, you know, if a passenger, because you're being chauffeured in this thing,
right.
Passengers wouldn't have to be bothered with exiting the vehicle if they had to change a tire, which, as you can imagine, was probably common in those days.
Roads
being the condition they were. So the chauffeur would get out and change the tire and get all dirty and everything. But built-in hydraulic jacks in the chassis that would drop down and raise the vehicle. Now, that's like current Formula One technology in a car from 1937.
That is amazing.
That's incredible, isn't it?
I guess maybe it just didn't catch on at the time because it was such an elite, such a high-end thing.
I guess so. I mean,
there's no way that Ford could have mass-produced that.
For the cost point that they wanted to hit. Now, of course, in a Rolls-Royce touring limousine, I don't think it's really a big deal. You add something
right.
like that, and it's like, well, that's a 10 grand option. I'll take it.
That is impressive.
And maybe not even an option. That was probably standard, you know, mm-hmm. if I had to guess. But to me, I mean, for something that 1937, to have that kind of technology, that's incredible.
And
that's just one example.
That's just one example. That was also I believe that was the last model, right, before World War II.
That's correct. Because then there's a gap in production, and there's an 11-year break in production for World War II. And you know what's strange here? I have in my notes, and I'm going to kick myself, but for World War I, I have World War I notes for some reason. I have a mention here, and I just want to say it, that Rolls-Royce made tanks and airplane engines during World War I. So maybe I just forgot to put the two on there. I don't know.
We should this is a great point to do a plug for an earlier podcast we did on automotive production and World War II. We've got an entire podcast about the ways in which the auto industry was affected.
Ben, I'm shaking my head because that is truly World War I that I have written down, and I'll tell you why. Because of his role that he played in the war, you know, for you know, helping the Allies. That is the reason that Sir Henry Royce was knighted.
That's right.
So I'm going back in history here, but for World War I, that's the reason, because they made tanks and airplanes at the factory, and they played a significant role in helping the Allies. So that's why he was knighted. But for World War II, there was a break in production, and I don't have in my notes here what they made, but I'm sure that they had an effort in the war.
I believe it may have also been tank parts.
Okay, I would buy that. And so, you know, they've always been big in the aerospace industry.
Sure, engines.
Yeah, later in marine. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they had anything to do with marine engines at that point, but I would guess that they did.
Yeah.
But always big in airplane engines. So and even to this day, you'll still see Rolls-Royce tags on jet engines.
And the engines in the jets are supposed to be as impressive as the engines in the cars.
I would believe that. Hey, Ben, you know what? Looking at my notes here, I'm sure that people have heard me shuffling. I've got a pile of notes here about this, about the Phantom. I think maybe let's break it up into two parts. You want to make this our first part?
Okay.
We'll have a second part later on that will come very soon after this.
Yeah.
And we can just pick up with the history point of this, you know, going forward. Want to do that?
You know what? That's a great idea, because we don't ever want to walk away from a podcast thinking, oh, I wish I had mentioned that, but we always do.
Yeah, that's right. So this way we can get everything in, because I do have a ton of material here.
Yeah.
So let's just let's stop for part one here. How about that?
Yes.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day. Whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade, at the Home Depot, you can give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let Mom's Green Thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens with the Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97, for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out the Home Depot's extensive selection online at homedepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See homedepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
All right. So, Scott, Mac writes into us.
Mac, like the name.
Yes, Mac is female, I believe, too.
Oh, really?
Yes. Just listened to the Wazuma and heard you guys' response to my email, McKenzie in the Limo.
Oh, okay.
Made my day. So, mm-hmm. We have responded to this earlier.
Right. Yeah. And
added, I am still curious about the details of catalytic converters because on my car, I just had to get that replaced. So thanks for an awesome show.
Yeah, you know what? Catalytic converters. That seems to ring a bell. Did we have a show on catalytic converters?
I believe
converters?
We do have a show on catalytic converters.
You know what, Ben? We're getting – I think we're above 400 episodes now, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. It's been a wild ride, my friend.
I think we are. So you know what? If you – Mac, if you give it a search on on our RSS feed maybe.
Yeah.
And check it out. Search for that keyword, I think, and you'll find something there.
Yeah,
done.
That's one thing that we should pick up. And I, you know, until we read this out loud, I forgot about the limo, but that was cool.
Yeah, that was cool. I do.
So.
Oh, and she mentioned the Wazuma, which is that was another cool episode. If you haven't listened to the Wazuma episode or don't know what we're talking about, that's one
it's
to
worth
check.
The time.
It definitely is.
Oh my gosh! And if you have one, please write to us.
Please and share.
Yeah, we'll take it for a test drive for free. Interesting point. One reason we did need to read this email on air or this Facebook message is that some people might not know that our iTunes show, like the way you see it on iTunes, will cut off after a certain number of episodes.
Yeah.
So for shows like us or Stuff You Missed in History Class or Stuff You Should Know and Tech Stuff and other long-running shows, the best way to find an older episode is to go to our RSS feed.
That's right. And it's as simple as just typing in Car Stuff RSS mm-hmm. or any other show that you want to look for. And you'll be surprised at the number of shows. Like, you know, when you go back to, like, the history class. Stuff you missed in history class.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be surprised at how many episodes they've got and how far back they go. And our show, I mean, we're going on, what, 3 or 4 years now? I don't even know.
It's been a while.
Like 400 episodes. So, you know, people may think there's only 20, 25 episodes, but it goes way, way back.
Yes. And we would like to make some more episodes. And to make more episodes, we need to hear some suggestions. We always welcome these. So tell us what you think would be a good idea for us to podcast on via Facebook or drop a line on Twitter. And please let us know if you have a Rolls-Royce story. Another way to get in contact with us is to send us an old-fashioned email at
carstuff@discovery.com. And don't forget to tune in for part two of the Phantom episode.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at viking.com.